Zach Jackson, Browns and NFL writer for The Athletic and host of the Zach Jackson and Friends podcast, which you can check everywhere you get your podcast. Zach now appears on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Zach.
Good. Hey, Jonathan, when you spent all of March screaming about Shador being a top five pick, did you mean top five picks or top five rounds? I just wanted to clear that up.
It was rounds. The radio's a little muffled sometimes, Zach, so it doesn't always come through. That's, good thing we are on the FM dial, so I really don't have any excuses
This is why you got to say it with your chest. Say it with conviction.
That's right.
I just hadn't been able to catch up with you, so I just wanted to clear that up. So we're onward and upward. You know,
well,
we're into OTA season. So.
We should continue the conversation with where you sat then most recently with Shador, where you had very kind things to say about his performances.
He's a very talented thrower of the football. I mean, it's obvious. So what do you learn in rookie minicamp? Not a lot. What really of consequence comes from day one or day two, I guess, of OTAs, day one, we get to watch? Probably next to nothing. But when you just watch him on a practice field, he's a very gifted thrower of the football. Just, you know, accuracy, timing, things like that. So if he can put it all together, then I really believe that he has a chance. But I don't think we should jump to conclusions anyway at this point. We want to, right? And today there was a lot of excitement, and there will be next Wednesday, I think, is the day that we're out there. But it really is the infant stages. It is. This is like getting excited about the second day of spring training, you know, when there's 162 ahead. So it doesn't, you know, the Browns don't play 162. Some years it feels like they do, last year being one of them. But this is the story, right, of the Browns, the quarterback competition. This is one of the stories of the NFL, and Shador is a part of that. And I think at some point, not this September, to be very clear, but I think at some point this kid has a chance to be an NFL quarterback. I really do.
So I'm glad you asked that, because there's a way of looking at Shador specific to the quarterback kerfuffle that will go on this summer as maybe the odd man out in terms of having the least chance to maybe claim the job. Do you think he has a legitimate chance to win the job, or is that a far-fetched idea?
He has almost zero chance to win the job as far as September. And that's what we're talking about right now, right? To win this job for this competition. He's going to get the fewest reps. He's going to start last in line. And neither of the rookies have any chance to win this job. This is Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett's job, barring something else. Now, this is the Cleveland Browns, so anything is in play, any avenue. And I mean that, and not just to get a chuckle, right? But Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco are going to continue to be one and two, and today they were one and then two and then one again, right? Joe Flacco's 18 years of NFL experience and Kenny Pickett's 35 starts and 3 years and playing on a Super Bowl team, playing in a playoff game, that puts them light years ahead of those guys. And so you know, talking about the other guys, where they are now, they are not in the picture. And to me, there's just very little chance that they could realistically be in the picture. Now, will August be huge for both of those guys in terms of the here and now and their potentials of having real careers? Yes. But, you know, it's a four-way quarterback competition, but there is a smaller than 4% chance that either rookie could realistically be the starter in September when they play the Bengals.
Did you like Joe Flacco's comments today? I know he said something similar even just a couple years ago, but talking about how he's not going to be a mentor, but he is, you know, hoping that just being around will be all he needs to do in order to get some of these young guys up to speed.
Yeah, Joe's so good at this, and he's unique at this part of it too. He gives really great quotes with really great football insight. Doesn't try to be a storyteller, doesn't try to be a joke teller, doesn't try to add more than it is. When he speaks from a place of a guy who's seen a lot in this league, right? Who's kind of done it all. He was a Super Bowl MVP, right? I remember standing in the tunnel in that stadium watching Joe Flacco walk out after losing to Baker Mayfield and kind of knowing it was over with the Ravens. And 2 weeks later it was, right? Like he's done it all. I mean, the Browns called him off the couch. He was thrown in the park with his brother, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like he's a gem, and I was initially shocked that it ended up being the reunion, but as I processed that over the last however many weeks, and gosh, since the draft, it feels more like 4 months than 4 weeks. But I think they did right. I think he will win the job. I think he's the best man for the job right now. But even if he doesn't, or even if it goes a number of different ways, I think the Browns made themselves better. And gave themselves a chance to make Dylan and Shador better just by having Joe Flacco around.
So with all this, if we think back to the decision to not bring him back and, you know, his first voyage and now this offseason and trading for Kenny first and then signing Joe, do you think that Kevin Stefanski prefers Kenny Pickett to Joe Flacco, or do you think maybe he views them in comparable terms?
I think he views them in comparable terms. I don't think that anybody but Kevin could answer that question for himself, Nick. When it comes to the order, that is the order that things would go in. If the Eagles were willing to trade Kenny Pickett, then that would be an early March move. And Joe Flacco, at this stage of his career, clearly no team deemed him as their clear number one opening day starter, so he wasn't going to sign until late March or early April. You know, and this year it happened that there was a little bit of a stare down and traffic jam that involved Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Kirk Cousins on various levels. And so he signed a week before the draft or whenever the, exactly that was, you know, so I wouldn't put really anything into the order there. You know, had they drafted a quarterback at number two or number five overall, there would be an order, right? Did they have a realistic guy coming back? Did it started X amount of games and had X amount of success? There would be an order. But right now, I think it's the two older guys and the two younger guys. You know, Pickett's a little bit older than most guys entering the fourth year. Gabriel's a little bit older than most rookies. But, you know, I think it's the two guys who have played in the NFL and the two guys who haven't. I think they're all close in their own way. And as boring as it is, like, I think for the most part, Kevin is telling us the truth when he says he's not going to worry about order and reps and any kind of pecking order until he has to. And when he has to me, isn't until the first week of August.
Do you feel like if it's like a tie goes to the runner situation, Flacco and Pickett, let's just say they're in a dead heat by the time he has to make the decision, do you feel like he'd go with Pickett just because league-wide, I think you get so much more if Pickett ends up being a much better player. Plus, you have a long-term, a lot to gain that way as well.
No, I don't necessarily agree with that line of thinking. Kenny Pickett's only under contract for 1 year, right? And if he plays great and wins you a bunch of games, you have to pay him. You know, so I don't know.
I meant more like the reclamation project that he would be. I feel like it'd almost be like Kevin O'Connell with Sam Darnold, whereas with Joe Flacco, we already did that 2 years ago.
Yeah, but you just said it. I mean, Sam Darnold played his way into $40 million, even if he lost 15 of that, you know, in his last two games. So, I mean, the Browns have major salary cap issues. Sean Watson's cap number for next year is $80 million. So, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with right now, but it has everything to do with going forward. I think Joe Flacco's flat out better. I think visually he's better. I think experience-wise shows he's better. If Kenny Pickett earns the job, it's because he's going to way outplay him and get the locker room in the huddle behind him, and that might happen. I'll be surprised if that happens. And maybe there is some sort of thought that they want Kenny Pickett. But, I mean, like I said, if Kenny Pickett was on his rookie contract for three more years, it would be completely different. He's not. He is a dirt-cheap option by quarterback standards, just like Joe Flacco is. And the difference is their 15 years of experience. That's what that is. I mean, I think most people think that Flacco is better. But we will see how this goes because Kenny's getting a start. And I understand why you ask that, because I do think there is the thought behind getting him there, giving him this chance, is that there could be that kind of revival. But he's only under the contract for the Browns for the next 17 games.
Zach, looking to Myles Garrett, one of the big commentaries from the Browns post the $40 million extension and the trade kerfuffle and all that kind of stuff was, we want Myles to raise his level of leadership and raise all that, right? And then today, on the day where Browns media is going to be talking with the team at OTAs, we got an Instagram of Myles letting everyone know he's in Japan. Is that a coincidence, you think?
I would say that OTAs are almost completely inconsequential to Myles Garrett, and that him not being there would be no surprise to the rest of us. And I would let you guys spend the other hours talking about that, because that's what I would say. Like, I'm not going to take a stance. Did I slightly raise an eyebrow that, given the circumstances of the last 4 months, that he wasn't there? Yes. But was I 1% surprised? No.
Zach, tell me your other observations from OTAs today, and I want to leave it very open-ended because I want to just find out and pick your brain as to what exactly you saw and what exactly you were impressed with, and that might just be someone showing up in shape or anything that caught your eye.
DeJuan Jones looks like a different guy. He's lost a lot of weight, and I think more importantly, him being out there for what looks like a full practice load is positive, because I think that there was a thought that he wouldn't be ready till training camp. So there's that, and there was one really good throw from Flacco to Jerry Jeudy that it was like, well, Flacco can still do that. And Jerry Jeudy, as we saw last year, when he gets NFL-level quarterback play, can be an explosive playmaker. There's just not a lot else to see, Jonathan. You know, I'm going to write more than that for tomorrow. But we're talking about an early practice with a lot going on, more than normal, because they're running simultaneous practice fields to get everybody their reps. I think everybody that was on Twitter saw the ball get batted back into Dylan Gabriel's face. He is tiny. That does happen to quarterbacks who are a foot taller than him. You know, it's it's day two. It's week one. It's part of it. If you want to track every stat, I don't blame you. There was one impressive throw, right, from Flacco that stood out. I thought Shador made some impressive throws in 7-on-7. I want to see more. Like, I am not going to give a real impression on any of the quarterbacks, no more than I already have anyway, right, just talking through it, until we see in 2 weeks, because they need time to acclimate. I mean, think about it. They had rookie minicamp, and then Dylan and Shador joined the pro. That was only 2 weeks ago yesterday. It was their first day even being in the offseason program, even being here and meeting these guys and sitting in a meeting and diving past the first page of the playbook. So, like, what are they really getting out of it now? You know, all these Kevin Stefanski's OTAs have been holding the rookies back, letting them learn. And every team's OTAs are getting through minicamp and then deciding which rookies are coming along, which aren't, which are close, which aren't close, and what do we have to do in different positions. So it's different this year because the quarterback search went the way that it did and because Shador Sanders is here. But on OTA 2, it's really not a lot different. And anybody who wants to make more of today than what it was is just getting way ahead of themselves. Like, trust me, guys, there'll be times for that in August, and I'll be tweeting the stats just like everybody else.
Zach Jackson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline of the Athletic and Zach Jackson and Friends podcast. I know we talked a lot of Browns to this point, but just kind of on a lark here. No specific reason I'm asking this question. How do you feel about charging admission to youth baseball games?
Nick, if we had 5 hours, then I would like to take off on that. We don't, so I'm going to just say that I don't like it. But right now, to go full football coach cliche, you know, my focus is getting on next week and seeing these OTAs.
I didn't know if we were going to have to dump you, because I heard what you said on the podcast.
I'm lost. Zach, how much did you get charged?
Well, there's one scumbag in particular who charges $10. but, you know, he'll do it at a place. It's not at a nice place. He'll do it at a city park where the bathrooms are closed and there's no concession stand and there's no trainer around and there's no scoreboard and no anything. And it's frankly a crime.
That's awful.
Yeah,
for a youth baseball game, $10. I know the travel games, people have gotten really expensive with those, but just in general, I can't imagine paying. I can get cheaper Guardians tickets.
And in fairness, and I'd say this with all love to our youth who's just learning to play the game, it's not Major League Baseball. It's not the quality that you would want from that setting.
Yeah, the one I'm referencing in particular is a park that had 5 fields going on a Friday night, and 2 of the 5 were 10U games. So these kids haven't finished elementary school, but grandma and grandpa are getting charged $10 to come watch them try to hit the ball past shortstop. Like, come on, what are we doing here?
See,
that's awful.
I knew it'd be box office. Zach, given where the Browns are and where they're potentially going, would it be a disappointment if the Browns don't get the number one pick next year?
It's way too early for that discussion, and I would say that I don't believe at all they're going to be the worst team in the league. I believe a really bad season is in the realm of outcomes, Nick. But, you know, I'm not convinced that they're going to be a bottom-tier team. I'm fairly convinced they're not going to be an upper-tier team. But when you think about all the things that went wrong last year and how historically inept the offense was both at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, like, I just think that mild improvement in running the ball, and Joe Flacco, even if he only starts six games for reasons of injury, tanking, performance, whatever, like, he couldn't help but be better than what they're putting out there, right? So I'm interested. I think, even though it went in a weird order, I think they drafted some good players. I think there's not enough young guys in the pipeline who I think are ascending, but there are some. And if they get good offensive line play and just efficient Stefanski offense, like, why couldn't they be competitive like they were last November and not, you know, for at least more time than that? So, I picked them to be in fourth place. I do think number one pick is within the range of outcomes, but I don't think it's likely. And I don't think at all that this is a bottom five team talent-wise. I don't think at all. So we'll see what they do, what they get out of quarterback, and we'll see how healthy they stay. And, you know, that goes in with like 10 other layers of luck that come in this league. But, I would not think right now, like, if we're having this discussion around Thanksgiving, certainly seems like we could, but I don't know that at all that it's headed that way. And I certainly don't think the coaching staff has any plans on tanking for anything. I think they're going to put the best quarterback out there that they believe gives them a chance to win games, and then we'll judge if they're really right about that thought or not.
Zach, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you, and look forward to reading your write-up on OTAs.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Jackson there, the Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. It gave us plenty to react to on the Browns day one there of OTAs, or day one of media availability with OTAs. We'll react to that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.